Yes, I am a Star Wars lover. I love Star Wars, so I'm sorry if any of you can't stand it, but that's that. We'll get back to that video in just a moment. But this morning, we're going to look at Philippians. If you want to turn into your Bibles, Philippians chapter 4. This is a pretty famous verse that we probably all know. Starting in verse 6, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Great. I get to preach on worry and anxiety. So first off, I want to specify what I am talking about and what I'm not talking about. What I'm not talking about is the anxiety and worry that many people have, that they just can't help. It's a chemical imbalance in the brain, so they have an anxiety disorder or mental disorder in that kind of, and I'm not trained as a professional. I don't have schooling in the psychology world, and so I can't speak and attest to that. But that's not the worry and anxiety that I'm speaking about. So when I'm talking about worry and I'm talking about fear and anxiety, that's not what I'm addressing. What I am talking about is the everyday fears and worries of life, the everyday anxieties, the nervousness of the test coming up, or the nervousness and anxiety of, hey, your boss sent you an email saying we need to talk tomorrow, or I don't know where we're going to get the money to pay our bills. Those kind of everyday anxieties and worries, and those are what I'm going to talk about. And so I don't want anyone to feel like I'm dismissing their anxiety or the worry, because those issues are very real, and people have to deal with those issues. And one thing that I will say about those is God can heal. He can heal physical ailments. He can heal mental ailments, physical, emotional, all those things. He can. He can rid us and rid you of that, but he doesn't always do that. But I just wanted to let you know that is what I am talking about and what I'm not talking about. So worry. What do people worry? Well, me being the youth pastor, I'm going to first start off with some teens. What do teens, I looked up, what were the most worrisome things that teens got worried over? Some might be a little surprising. Some might be like, yeah, I would think that would be the top list. So number one, graduation, whether it's high school graduation or college graduation. Believe it or not, kids worry about graduating. Impressing their friends, you know, being accepted. That's one that I think we would all believe, yep, most teens worry about that. Three, missing out. FOMO. Nobody wants to miss out. The fear of missing out. I can't miss that party. I can't miss that game. I might miss out of something important. Four, losing or getting outcompeted. And five, believe it or not, failing their parents. Kids worry about failing their parents. Well, I also looked up and I saw there's this company that does this yearly, what do Americans worry most about? And so I took the top five in there: inflation, poverty and social inequality, crime and violence, unemployment, financial and political corruption. Those are maybe I've touched on a few different things that you in your everyday life worry about, and don't worry, you're not alone. But what do you worry about? What are the things that keep you awake at night? What are the things that you worry about and think about that occupy your thinking during the day? Those are the things that I want to address and talk about today. And from this verse in Philippians, I want to talk about three different things about worry and anxiety, and then a few helpful hints on how we can overcome anxiety and worry. So let's get started. Let's get started by going to the heart of the issue, the heart of anxiety. And I believe that the root of all worry and anxiety is fear. That video, for those who don't know, Anakin had a vision that his wife was going to die. And so he was driven by that fear of loss to do whatever it would take to keep her from dying. And that fear drove him off the deep end. that fear drove him to do the things that he wouldn't ordinarily do. And I think we need to take Yoda's advice that he gave to Anakin. He said, let go. Let go of your fear of loss. Not let it go like Frozen, but let go. Let go of that worry. Let go of that fear of loss. You've got to distance yourself from that fear, because that fear will cause you to do things you don't want to do. Do you know what the number one command in the Bible is? The number one repeated? It's not don't murder. It's not don't lie. Don't steal. Although those are really good ones to follow. But the most repeated command is do not fear, or fear not, or don't be afraid. And I think that is because we as people are so quick to that fear. We're so quick to run to that fear as a defense mechanism. All the way back to the Garden of Eden. One of the first reactions that Adam and Eve had after they sinned and ate was when they heard God, they were afraid and they hid. And I think that's why every time we see an angel who appears to a person, they say, don't be scared. You know, I can just imagine if they had angel school up in heaven, that'd be like how to talk to people 101. And the very first thing is they sit you down in class and say, repeat after me, don't be afraid. Just practice that. Because every time an angel appears, they say, don't be scared. Don't be afraid. I'm not here to hurt you. You know, and we as people, like I said, we're prone to this fear. There are over 500 different phobias. Now, that's a lot of things that people are afraid of. Just a little personal note, my top three fears. One, spiders. Terrified. If you want to know how scared I am, just ask Molly. She's got some very, very scary stories about me and spiders. Two, public speaking. Yeah, ironic, right? Funny how God works. And number three, needles. I don't like them. Don't want nothing to do with them. But God knows this about us. But he doesn't want us to be fearful. He doesn't want us to be afraid. But I can hear some of you say, well, aren't there healthy things to be afraid of? Aren't there healthy fears out there? Like, what about fire? Isn't it good to be afraid of fire? I mean, after all, you could get burned, right? But I don't have to fear fire to understand its power. Like, I don't have to be afraid of something and let that fear drive me. Like that, I mean, that would have really changed the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? Like, King Nebuchadnezzar said, you better bow before me or I'm going to throw you into the fire. He used that fear tactic to try to scare them into doing something that they wouldn't normally do. And if they allowed that fear to drive them, we'd have a very different story, but they didn't. They told King Nebuchadnezzar, you can do whatever you want. Do whatever you want with us. But we're not going to bow to you. We're not going to bow to you because we bow only to our God. Now, I don't know. The Bible doesn't say that they were afraid. It doesn't say that, you know, they didn't have any fear. But they didn't let that fear dictate what they were going to do. And why is that? Because they understood the one thing. The one proper thing to fear. It's a lot like what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10. Jesus said, don't fear the person who can destroy your body only. Only, but you should fear he who can destroy your body and soul in hell. So what does that mean for us as children of God? We've been given the promise of eternal life. We've been given the promise, and in Romans it says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. So if we're a follower of God, that one proper fear, we have no reason to be afraid. Because he's on our side. He's on our team. And so we shouldn't let our fears drive us. Because they'll drive us into craziness. So number two, what does anxiety and worry reveal about us? When we let it dictate our actions, when we let it drive how we live, it reveals our distrust and our lack of confidence in God. Right? Like, if we read God's word and we believe it and we believe everything that it says about God and who he is true, we should have no fear. It's like the kid who's standing on the edge of the pool, right? And they've got the life preserver on, and their dad or their mom or parent is standing in the pool, and they're like, come on, jump. And the kid's standing on the edge is like, doesn't know if they want. It's that, do I trust my parent enough to jump because they say it's going to be okay? Or do I let my fear say, oh, that's too scary? And the difference between the kids who jump and the kids who don't is whether they trust more or whether they fear more. And if they're driven by their fear more, they aren't going to jump. But if they trust more than they fear, then they're going to do it. And that's what God wants. God wants us. He's standing there in the pool saying, come on, come on, I've got you. Trust me, it's safe. I can handle everything. And the Bible is littered with all these pep talks and all these sayings of God saying, you can trust me. Don't worry. Go back to Joshua chapter 1. Moses died, and this young guy, Joshua, is now becomes the nation's leader. And God says, okay, it'd be a good time for a pep talk, Joshua. All right, listen to me. Listen to me. Don't worry. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Be strong and courageous. I got this. I was with Moses, and I'm going to be with you. Just remember everything that you saw me do. You don't have to be worried because I'm going to lead these people. You don't have to be afraid. I will be with you wherever you go. Or the psalmist in 145 says, the Lord is with all who call on him. Not just some, not just most, not just a few, but everybody, everyone who calls on the Lord, he is with. In Isaiah 58, I love this one. It says, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here I am. Like God is there saying, hey, just trust on me. Lean on me. I'm here. I've got your back. It's almost like in the movie or a TV show, and you have this boss of the company and they call the intern and the intern comes running. Here I am. Here I am. Ready to do whatever the boss wants him to do. That's kind of what I picture a little bit about what God is like. Just call on me. Ask me. I'm here to help you, and I want to. I'm just waiting and willing for you to call out to me. It's also a lot like when Jesus was getting ready to leave this world, and they were at the Last Supper, and Jesus says, you're going to have trouble in this world. You're going to have trouble. Don't worry. I have overcome the world. It's like, I'm bigger than the world. If you trust in me, if you lean on me, I'll help you. I'll be with you. You don't need to worry. You don't need to worry about a thing or be anxious or nervous or anything. I got this. And if we trust in God, we can leave our fear behind, like the child who jumps into the pool. But too oftentimes, we let our fear dictate our actions. We put our trust in other things besides God. And time again, they let us down. Time and time again, they don't live up, they don't measure up, and yet we're still trusting in that fear. So the secret problem of anxiety and worry, and this might rub a few feathers a little wrong, but it was convicting to me, and so I think I need to put it in here. The do not worry in that verse of Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, where it says, do not be anxious about anything. That is a command, not a helpful hint. See, the Greek word, a little bit of Greek, I won't go into too much, but that Greek makes it a command, makes it a, hey, you have to do this. It's not just a suggestion. It's not just a helpful hint. Paul is issuing a command to his readers in Philippi. And that's a lot like, exactly like what Jesus said in Matthew 6 on the Sermon on the Mount, where he says, don't worry about your life or food or where you're going to live or what you're going to wear. It's that same wording of a command. not just something that, you know, we can keep in our back pocket for when, you know, hey, times get tough, let me think about this. No, it's like, and there's a big difference between a command and a helpful hint, right? Like, don't speed. That's a law. That's a rule. You'll get in trouble for doing it. No jumping on the furniture, right, parents? There's no jumping on the furniture in our house. That's a command. Thou shalt not commit murder. That's a command. And if you break them, you're a rule breaker. But helpful hints, it's like, look both ways before you cross the road if you don't want to get hit by a car. Right? That's a helpful hint. Nobody's going to lock you up in prison for not looking both ways. Maybe your parents, but that's a different story. Or I would have professors in college, they'd be like, hey, for your test next week, I would suggest that you read pages 45 to 50 just to help you out. Just a helpful hint. They're not going to call you up and say, did you read those pages? No, they're giving a suggestion to help you out. And it's, I think it's very important that we differentiate the two and understand what Paul is saying here. And remember, I'm talking about the everyday worries, the everyday anxieties. And Paul says, don't do it. Do not do it. Okay, Paul, it's easy for you to say it, right? Yeah, don't worry, don't be anxious, but you don't know what my life's about. Like, it's just a hectic, crazy, hot mess, right? Like, you don't understand what I'm going through or what I've been through. It's easy for you to say, Paul, right? Wrong. Let me tell you what Paul's been through. In 2 Corinthians, he gives this long list of all the hardships and troubles that he's had in his life. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at the sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and I have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. And then in the next chapter of 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about this thorn that he had in the flesh that he asked God to remove. And most people thought that it might be a speech impediment or he was a little crippled in the leg or something from one of his stones. And he's like, God, please remove this from me. And God said, no, I'm going to leave that there. Okay. That guy is telling us to don't be anxious or worry. This Paul, he was in prison at the time he was writing this letter. And he says, I'm going to boast. I'm going to brag about being in prison. Why? Because Jesus is being preached. People are learning and hearing about Jesus because I'm in prison. And also because I'm in prison, the Christians around are being even more bold, proclaiming his name without fear. And I will continue to rejoice. In chapter 2, we looked at him talking about last week, Andy talked about the humility and the unity in Jesus. And he also talks about, in verse 12 of chapter 2, do everything without complaining or arguing. And I think from that list of what Paul said that he had gone through, I think if anybody had any ounce of excuse to complain or argue, it was Paul. But yet, time and time again, through this whole letter of Philippians, he continually says, rejoice, rejoice. I'm going to continue to rejoice. In case you didn't catch that, rejoice. That's the Paul. That's the person who says, don't be anxious. Don't be nervous. Don't worry. So, how do we overcome anxiety and worry? How do we break the barrier of the fear and the worry and the anxiety that drives us and dictates our actions? Well, I want to give a little broader context of just that verse because I think Paul gives us some helpful hints in the surrounding verses about how do we do that. So in Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So the first one, we see it there in verse 4. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. So the first thing that we can do to help us overcome anxiety is rejoice. Rejoice in what God has done. The Psalms are filled with this. Praising God for everything that he had done for Israel. Everything that he had done for his people. If we're rejoicing in God, it's hard for us to focus on our anxieties. And Paul goes in right after this. He says, rejoice and rejoice. And then he says, I've learned how to be content in every situation. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. I can rejoice in God because he can give me the strength to get through whatever it is that I'm worried about or anxious about or nervous about or anything. God is bigger than that, and he can help me through it, and I'm going to celebrate it. I mean, Paul was in prison, and he's saying, I'm going to rejoice. Another time when he was in prison, they were singing hymns of praise to God. Like, when you're in that depth, you can get out by rejoicing. The second thing, bring it to God. In verse 6, present your requests to God. God can handle it. I mean, Paul's life was filled with prayer. Paul's letters, if you read all the letters of the New Testament, he's constantly praying to God and telling his readers, I'm thanking God for you. I'm praying for you for this. Please pray for me. Like, prayer was a huge, huge part of Paul's life. And if we are praying to God, that will help us focus on rejoicing in God. And that will help remind us who's in control of the situation. It's not our fear. It's not other people. It's not the circumstances around us. God is the one who's in control. And we have a direct line of communication to him through the Holy Spirit. The third one. Realize that God is near. It's a little tidbit that's tucked right in all of those. Between verses 4 and 6, he says, the Lord is near. And that's all he says. The Lord is near. He's just reminding his listeners, God is near. You don't have to go to a priest who then will go to make a sacrifice or make a prayer for you. You don't have to do X, Y, and Z to make him listen. Like, God is near, and he wants to be with you. He wants to be a part of your life. Matthew 28, when Jesus was leaving, he says, all authority has been given to me, and now I give it to you. And he says, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. God is with us. God is near us. And if we realize that, it's going to help. Because it always helps when you've got a buddy next to you. You're a lot more courageous. I know, especially as a teenager, it was like, I would never get up on stage in front of people. No, never. But, oh, hey, my buddy's going up. Okay, maybe I can do that. Right? It always is better when you've got somebody by your side. And Paul wants his leaders, he wants you, he wants everybody to know that God is near. The fourth one, rest in his peace. All I can say about this one is it makes no sense. It makes no sense. Verse 7, the peace of God that transcends all understanding. I can't explain it. I don't understand it. I can't explain it. It just is. God's peace. Rest in God's peace. Because he wants you to live in peace. He wants you to live with him. And with him, there is no anxiety or worry. There is no fear of the future. There is no fear of rejection. There's no fear of anything that could hurt you or harm you. Because God is here and he grants us peace. Like I said at the beginning, fear is at the root of all worry and anxiety, right? So So let's treat the issue at hand. Because if we can get rid of fear, then we don't have that after effect of anxiety or worry. And we can overcome fear with love. John wrote three little letters to the church at the end of the New Testament. And in 1 John 4:18, he says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear." God's love, which was shown on display for all to see through Jesus on the cross, got rid of all fear. Because John says after that, fear has to deal with punishment. But we don't have to be afraid of punishment if we're in Jesus. Like Romans says, we don't have to fear anything that comes in this world because God has us in his hand, in Jesus Christ. God is greater. God is bigger than anything you can think of. Just like the VeggieTales, God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than Godzilla. He's bigger than the monsters on TV. He's bigger than the fear of being let go. He's bigger than the fear of rejection. He's bigger than the test that you have to take. He's bigger than the crazy weather that we have to drive in. God is bigger than all of it. And he's holding us in his hand. And he wants us to rest in his peace. Rest and know that he is near. So what fears and anxieties do you have in your life that you need to bring to the cross? What fear and anxieties do you need to just let go and give it to God and rest in his peace? Because that peace that transcends all understanding, that we can't explain, doesn't make sense, that peace is only offered through Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you, if you haven't for the first time rested in that, I want to encourage you, now's the time. Now's the time to get rid of that worry and anxiety, give it to the cross, say yes to Jesus. I want that peace that you offer. I want that rest that you offer. I want that security that you have that I can only find in Jesus. So in the words of wise Master Yoda and Paul, rejoice, be happy, don't worry. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this day and this time that we've had to just open your word and to receive encouragement from you, to receive your strength and your promises. And God, I just pray that if there's anyone here who is just anxious and nervous, that they would just lay it down at your feet, that they would rest in your peace, that they would gain strength from your love, that they would know that you are near, and they know that you love them. God, we just ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.